This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Dr. Wendy Christian is a health coach and wellness practitioner at Integrated Health Solution. Morning, Wendy. Trust all is well on your side.
Good morning, Brad. Yes, very good. Thanks. How are you?
I'm all right. How are your kidneys?
I hope they're okay.
And I guess as I'm asking that, because we don't really know until things go south, until there's an issue or medical intervention is necessary. And I suppose that the good old saying, prevention is better than cure, is useful anywhere on the body.
Absolutely. And like we have to leave them, you know, to figure it out by themselves. There are ways that we can test and make sure that our kidneys are working properly.
Yeah, and that's what we chatted about last week, to go and have that test. What's the name of the test? Oh, it slipped my mind. I'm a bad student, Wendy. Was it a kidney function test?
Kidney function test, yes.
Okay, so we chatted about that last week. Today we're talking about the best foods to eat for healthy kidneys. It seems like a weird thing to say. How does what I eat matter to my good old kidneys? Isn't it more important about what I drink or don't drink because they filter? So eating is also important for our kidneys.
Eating is important because, yes, they are a filter, but the mineral balance and what we're consuming can influence the protein that is being taken up by the kidneys and excreted. So yeah, what we're eating plays a vital role in our kidney function.
So what kind of foods in general, before we look at something specifically, but just in general, what kind of foods are we looking at to say these will do our kidneys well?
So we want to have hydrating and detoxifying foods. We want to have foods that don't have very high sodium in them and preferably with anti-inflammatory properties. Mm. We want a moderate protein intake. Too much protein can also be a problem. And we want to have some healthy fats.
Okay, so let's start with the hydrating. I mean, we can get in what we need to deal with the hydrating part through water, but how does eating supplement the water that we drink? What is a hydrating food?
So lots of our vegetables are hydrating. Some of our fruits are hydrating. If we think of cucumber is basically fluid.
Yes.
So something like that would be a helpful food to be consuming to be hydrating our bodies.
When you talk about water, sometimes that's a bit tricky for people, just plain water. Now, I don't want to start a whole side conversation around water, but can we zhuzh it up just a little bit by adding something in there as well? That wouldn't steal away from what water's doing.
No, you can. You absolutely can. So you can add things like fresh lemon. You can add your cucumber to the water. You could add fruits to the water like blueberries. You can add mint leaves. All of those could be beneficial. Lemon is specifically helpful to support our pH balance, our acidity, and it helps with the detoxification processes as well.
Wendy, you mentioned low sodium foods. So are there foods that are going to increase our sodium? We're thinking maybe, we get some table salt, you know, some salt and pepper when we sit down and eat or when we're in the cooking process. That would affect the sodium balance or the sodium quantity in the food. But is there food that's high in sodium that we need to avoid so that that doesn't become a problem in our kidneys?
Yes. So anything that has a high salt in content. So if we think about all our processed foods, takeaways, obviously, those will all have very high levels of salt and sodium in them. And so we want to really use those in moderation and rather focus on the foods that are lower in sodium. We obviously need the right balance. So it's not like we should cut out all the sodium altogether. But in some cases, especially if you have blood pressure issues, you do want to be focusing on lower sodium intake.
Mm. So what are some of those anti-inflammatory and low sodium foods, if we can look at some specific foods?
So we can look at foods like garlic and onion, which are anti-inflammatory, as well as things like turmeric and ginger, which are more spices and herbs. Blueberries or berries in general, like blueberries, strawberries, raspberries, they are high in antioxidants. Remember, we spoke about eating the colorful foods as
yes.
part of the rainbow. They're all high in antioxidants, and they are particularly low in potassium as well.
Any more specific foods? I mean, we're talking here, it seems to be that low sodium and anti-inflammatory foods are more the fruits and the vegetables.
Yes. So you can look at things like apples and pears, which are low in potassium. They've got good amounts of fiber, which is very good for the gut. And fiber, interestingly enough, is also good for the kidneys. You've got leafy greens, but you do have to watch with leafy greens if you have kidney disease, because you also want to reduce your intake of potassium. Also, if you're on blood thinners, you don't want to be having too many leafy greens either, specific blood thinners. It's not all blood thinners, but some will advise you against having too much potassium. So then you would have to watch for your leafy greens. Then things like cauliflower and cabbage, which are rich in nutrients, low in potassium. Your red peppers, they are a good source of vitamin C, and radish, naturally detoxifying as well.
Ah, interesting. So, I know we're probably going to chat later on about foods to avoid, but you're talking here about leafy greens and kidney disease, and what about something like omegas? If we have too high levels of omega, can that affect the kidneys negatively then? If you're talking about also leafy greens and talking about blood thinners.
Not well, omegas and blood thinners, you would have to watch the correlation there, because you don't want anything else that could potentially thin the blood. It's not going to be harmful for the kidneys. Omega-3 specifically is good for the brain and the kidneys and the cardiovascular system. And you can't really have too much omega-3. You can have too much omega-6, and that can be inflammatory. So, yeah, it's just watching the balance. So you don't need to supplement with omega-6, but because we get enough of that in our diet, you could potentially want to supplement with omega-3 of that in our diets.
Dr. Wendy, I remember when I was in my university years, then we were really into gymming and whatever, and then all you want to do is you want protein, and then you want to add protein to your protein, and then a bit more protein and some protein powder. It felt like that was the key word. And I remember reading those days before the internet, just collecting all of these magazines, and then they would every now and again remind you that you can put all of this protein that you're consuming in that kind of space. You're putting a lot of pressure on your kidneys, and of course, you can't tell a 20-year-old that, bah, it doesn't matter. We want to have big muscles. But
Exactly.
is it true that that having just too much protein can put that pressure on your kidneys?
It absolutely does. So I think we have to be very cautious with some of the diets that are being followed at the moment, because a lot of them focus on a lot of protein, especially in the form of red meat. But we spoke last week about the creatine being damaging, potentially damaging. So we're looking at ratios here. If you're having too much of anything, it's going to put pressure on your system somewhere. The kidneys have to filter out and utilize that protein, and apart from your muscles and everything else that uses it, but the kidneys are involved in actually transporting it and getting it out of the body. So if we are having too much in any given time, it's going to put a lot of pressure on the kidneys, and it can overwork our kidneys, which then can cause some problems.
What options are better? You mentioned red meat there in moderation. Are there better protein options that'll also be kinder to the kidneys?
Yes, so I would say eggs. You can have the white or the yellow of the eggs. The yellow has got the higher fat content. The whites would have a lot more protein. So that would be a way for people who are exercising to increase their protein. Lean chicken, your oily fat, and tuna, trout, and then if we want a vegetarian option, you can look at something like quinoa, which is a healthy source of protein as well.
Wendy, we've touched on those anti-inflammatory low-sodium foods, and then you've said avoiding those processed foods that are so high in sodium, and also avoiding too much protein. What effects would the fats, particularly the healthy fats, well, let's also then ask the unhealthy fats, the effect that would have on our kidneys?
So unhealthy fats are generally going to cause a lot of inflammation, and they get deposited around our organs. So the inflammatory aspect of the unhealthy fats would influence the kidneys, but they would then affect other systems in the body a little bit more. The healthy fats are going to be anti-inflammatory. And so the less inflammation we have in our bodies, the better our organs and systems can function.
What are some of the healthy fats? I think this is still the thing that confuses us because marketing out there is pushing us in one direction, particularly here in the Western Cape. What are the healthy fats? Let's start there before we diss any of the other fats.
Yes. So the healthy fats include olive oil, avocados, and unsalted nuts. Those I would say would be the healthiest options. You could also perhaps look at coconut oil. That, sometimes some people are on the fence about that one, but in my opinion, I think coconut oil is fine. And butter in moderation as well. Again, in my opinion, I would prefer butter over margarine because of the processed, the processing fact or the factor of margarine. But those would be the ones that I would say you could include. The olive oil and the avocados, those don't really have too much of a limit, but the others you would want to limit the intake of.
Just as we wrap up this series on kidney health, what are some high potassium foods? Because okay, well let's first start with this. Maybe we'll end here, Wendy. Is what are those foods to avoid? We've been talking about a lot of the things we need to be taking in, but what should we be avoiding?
Okay, so we've spoken already about the high sodium foods. So those would
Yes.
be all the processed foods. So processed meats, bacon, sausages, deli meats, canned and packaged foods, soups, chips, fast foods. We've spoken about all of those. We want to watch some of our pickled and fermented foods. So if you think about soy sauce and sauerkraut and, some of the pickled foods, they can be very high in sodium because they use salt as the fermenting agent. So if you are needing to limit your salt intake, you might want to watch your intake of those as well. Then high potassium foods would include things like bananas and oranges and potatoes, tomatoes, dairy products, beans and lentils, all of those kind of foods. And then obviously sugary and processed foods such as your sodas, your ice cream, all of those, if we have them in moderation, are fine, but if you're having them in excess, they're going to cause they can potentially exacerbate kidney issues. And then lastly, we'll be looking at things like alcohol and caffeine, which dehydrate our bodies and increase our blood pressure, which can put stress on the kidneys.
Yeah, so these are the foods that we have to have in moderation, so we don't put the pressure on those kidneys. Love it. So a quick question here on my screen, Wendy. Someone says diabetics cannot really eat fruit. Any other option for a diabetic? That's, I'm guessing, in line with what we were talking about earlier on, Wendy, about those low sodium and anti-inflammatory food options.
Yeah, so for a diabetic, it's not that they can have no fruit. They would rather choose fruits that are lower in on the glycemic index. So things like berries would still be okay for them to have in moderation, especially blueberries. They don't have a very high sugar content, and then they could go for all the vegetables. They could be eating things like the cucumber and they could perhaps have things like celery, more of that which have got the fluids in and the fiber in, celery, cucumber. If they could have some of the vegetables like if they don't have any other allergies, things like baby tomatoes or baby carrots, also in moderation because of diabetes. The broccoli ca and cauliflower, those can be chopped up and eaten raw as well, or dipped with some hummus. So there are still quite a few options if you are avoiding fruit in your diet.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for answering that question from one of our listeners. That's Dr. Wendy Christian, health coach and wellness practitioner at Integrated Health Solution. Always a pleasure spending these minutes with you on a Wednesday, on a Thursday, Wendy. Have yourself a really, really great day until we chat again.
Thanks, Brad. You too.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.